Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff, and today I want to talk about lacking fundamentals. What's up, guys? In today's episode, I'm going to be ranting a little bit about fundamentals. So bear with me because there's definitely going to be some incoherent thoughts at times, I think. I've got a lot to say about this topic, and I've never really talked about this in too much depth. And so I've got a lot of ideas that I haven't really panned out. And so I'm really using this podcast as a journal. I just want to jot some ideas down and you guys get to hear them. Just think of it like that. I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what jiu-jitsu fundamentals are, particularly in the modern game. I see a lot of videos on YouTube of people talking about the basics and 10 moves you should know and all of this. And to me, this is outdated. This is not the right way to think about it. A lot of schools are being left behind. They just are. Jiu-jitsu has evolved more in the past 5 years than the past 50 years. Jiu-jitsu is exponentially changing, in my opinion. And I see it, you know, we get visitors or I'll go to competitions or I'll watch, you know, I'll just watch different schools, watch their guys. And some schools are just killing it. You know, their guys are just absolute machines. Other schools, their guys are just getting picked apart left and right. They're getting picked apart by blue and purple belts. Their upper belts don't stand a chance. And they don't really understand why. Now, a lot of people blame it on, well, my school just doesn't teach the advanced things like buggy chokes and inside heel hooks. Like, we don't really do any of that. We focus more on the fundamentals. Well, to me, you're missing jiu-jitsu's fundamentals. You haven't evolved with it. You haven't evolved, and so you're doing jiu-jitsu that's 10, 15, even 20 years old. So I want you to think about it like this. Jiu-jitsu's had different eras. Now, if we think about the Gracies, all the way up to even the first UFC, jiu-jitsu was defined by the guard. So jiu-jitsu looked like this. If you're practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you spent most of your time either getting the takedown. So if you get the takedown, you stay on top. You progress to the mount position. Once you get the mount, you secure it, and you look to strike. From the strikes, if they give you an extended arm, you break it. You go to an armbar. If your opponent turns from the strikes, you take the back and get a rear naked choke. If you end up on bottom, you find your way to the closed guard. And this is what made Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in the beginning really, really special. And it's what made it dominate the early UFCs is people didn't know how to deal with the closed guard. You get the closed guard. Your first priority is to stop strikes. So you're controlling posture, you're controlling inside spaces, and you're not allowing your opponent to hit you. From there, if the arm, you get your opponent's arm to cross the center line, you go to an arm bar. If you can get your opponent to, have one arm in, one arm out, then you go to a triangle choke. If you feel their base is weak, then you get a sweep, you end up on top, and you go through that progression already mentioned. Mount, either arm bar, you finish with strikes, or they turn and take the back. You take the back and rear naked choke. When the first UFC happened, I mean, people were just blown away. I love hearing people's just what they thought when they saw the first UFC, because everybody thought that this Brazilian kid, Royce Gracie, was going to get killed. You would never in a million years have bet money on Royce to become the champion. He was the smallest guy. He was the least intimidating looking. And he kicked everybody's ass. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And it's funny because if you go back and listen to the early commentary of the first 10, 15, 20 UFCs, after Royce did what he did and people saw it wasn't a fluke, it became, oh, well, this guy's from Brazil. Or this guy trains Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Or this guy's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You just assumed he was going to win. People thought there was no way these guys could be beat. So they went from being like underdogs to these unbeatable guys. But we saw some evolution from the rest of the martial arts community, particularly with the wrestlers and the guys that were, you know, the MMA guys that were getting takedowns and they learned how to deal with the closed guard. They learned simply, okay, if I can keep my posture, I can avoid getting my arm across the center line and just make sure I have either both arms in or both arms out so I can't get triangle choked and I have a strong base, I can hurt these guys. And then you started hearing that famous expression of, well, if you hit a jiu-jitsu guy once, he turns into a brown belt. You hit him twice, a purple belt. You hit him four or five dozen times, you turn him back into a white belt. And you saw some of those guys start to panic because in their mind, they were like, oh, I can't be beat, because they were believing the hype. They weren't evolving. They were expecting to just go in there. Oh, worst case scenario, I'll end up on the ground. I'll use my jiu-jitsu and I'll win the fight. Well, that stopped working. And we've seen jiu-jitsu develop and evolve a ton over the years in MMA. But we've really seen, and I really want to talk about, because I want to shift focus and talk about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fundamentals for competition. Just the jiu-jitsu you're going to learn in your school. What do those fundamentals look like? Because, like I said, the beginning, everything was, if you get a takedown, go to mount. If you don't, you're on bottom, find a way back to your closed guard. From there, sweep or submit. That was it. We started to see late 90s, the half guard being developed. So a lot of schools were spending all their time shrimping, getting a knee wedge, and either going into the half guard. If you got the half guard, people started developing underhook games coming up with that. If you got an overhook, you'd go to the closed guard. If you got that underhook, you'd look to take the back. You might try and come up and sweep. But again, if you get that overhook or you can't make something happen with the underhook, you just go back to the closed guard, back to the safe, go back to where it's safe. And from there, we've seen a bunch of different guards develop in the early 2000s. And really, especially like the past 10, 15 years, we've seen tons and tons of new guards developed. And with that, we've seen the fundamentals shift, right? But a lot of schools still spend a ton of time on old fundamentals, and their students are being left behind. As I said, they're being picked off. A blue belt's coming in, and they're getting beat by advanced white belts at other schools, and they're just getting mollywopped by their peers, blue belts from other schools, getting tapped like five times in a round. I see it happen all the time. And the reason is they don't understand modern fundamentals. Now, what do modern fundamentals look like? I'm going to break it down like this because people think it's like they're missing, because I'll have guys come to me or you guys will message me and they're like, hey, I'm a blue belt and I feel like I just missed the basics, or I missed a basics class. Guys will want to take private lessons with me and they're wanting me to show them a move or a couple of moves that they missed that's going to exponentially make them better. That's going to 3x their skill. And I'm like, no, that's you're thinking all wrong. It has nothing to do with moves. The fundamentals have nothing to do with moves. You can teach the fundamentals through movements, but that's not the true, like, you don't truly understand the fundamentals because you can do a shrimp and recover your guard. You can just do a move. I need you to be able to talk through it. I need you to understand why, and that's how you can apply that fundamental to the rest of your jiu-jitsu, and that's what's going to make you exponentially better. So let's talk about that. How have the fundamentals evolved? So as I said, the closed guard for the longest time was the most dominant aspect and what really made jiu-jitsu special. It still does, being able to fight off your back. But being able to fight off your back has changed a lot. A lot of people realize, and I tell my students this all the time, being in the closed guard sucks. If you can't hit your opponent, if you're just doing sport jiu-jitsu, being in the closed guard, you're not accomplishing anything. You can't submit your opponent. You can't hurt your opponent. You can't pass. You can't do anything. It's just a time sucker. So if you're in a competition and your opponent's beating you on advantages or beating you on points and you end up in the closed guard, understand you have to get out of there as fast as possible. You cannot win that match in somebody's closed guard. They have all the advantages. They can attack you, they can sweep you, they can hold you there. They'll never get a stalling call because they're the ones on bottom. Like, they expect the top guy to do something, but like, that's one of the hardest positions to escape. And so because of that, a lot of people started passing on the feet. A long time, most academies, you just start on your knees. One guy'd start on his back, one guy'd start on the knees, or you do some stand-up work. But again, a lot of times, like when I was first coming up, you always started on your knees. Guys would pull half guard or pull close guard, and you'd work from there. But people started to start these guys like standing up, and then you start experimenting with it, and you're like, oh my God, I can bypass. I don't have to end up in the closed guard. And so modern fundamentals, the modern fundamentals to me look like this, okay? If you're on your feet passing the guard, you're learning footwork. You're learning how to dominate the feet, your opponent's feet, control the feet with the footwork and with your control of the feet, that lever. You're creating angles. You're using those angles to either split the legs, so like you're coming into deep passing positions and you're trying to find headquarters, right? That's all it is. That's all standing. I'm not talking about knee slices. I'm not talking about back steps. None of that. When you're on your feet and you're thinking about like learning the fundamentals of passing, you're using footwork. Your hands are controlling the feet. You're trying to create angles and you're trying to enter into headquarters. So when you hear headquarters, I don't want you to think about the position headquarters that Rafael Lovato made famous. I want you to think about just dominant positions where you're going to set up your passing. When you're in the closed guard, none of your passes work. You're not going to be able to knee slice. You're not going to be able to do anything. Whatever you like to do, double unders, nothing, right? So we use our footwork and we stay on our feet to avoid that. We're way more mobile on our feet. I don't understand why people ever start passing on their knees. Let's take an example from the best grappler today and of all time, Gordon Ryan. Gordon Ryan is the best pressure player in at least today's game. It's like him and Hodger Gracie, right? They just dominate people. They both just force the half guard and dominate. Well, Gordon doesn't start on his knees, even though he wants to force the half guard so he can try and win inside spaces from there to pass into the mount. He doesn't start passing on his knees. He starts on his feet. He creates angles. He wins inside positions, and he sets up dominant half guard passing with his footwork and passing on the feet. You'll see him. He tries to pass the knees, and he tries to get as close to the hip line as possible. Sometimes he'll end up in those knee on bellies, but he knows his opponents are going to shrimp and put their knee back in. But because he knows that they're going to do that, he's setting up really dominant half guard situations where he's in control. And we see that the best guys, like when they're passing half guard, you don't have a chance, right? If you're Kynan Duarte or Gordon Ryan or like one of those guys and you're trying to play half guard against them, you're going to get passed. And so the old heads, you know, again, they're spending most of their time in closed guard. Well, just think in this ADCC 2022, how many closed guard plays did we see? How many people did we even see get to closed guard? Very, very few. It probably only happened a couple of times. And 20 plus hours of matches, it probably happened a couple of times the entire weekend. That should show you how much time you should be spending on your closed guard, in my opinion. ADCC, the ultimate proving ground where the sport's best players, like you should go and study those matches and situations in those matches that come up a lot. Like those are the like positions you should be working. The scenarios you should be playing, right? And a lot of people go, well, those are the best guys. They're doing all these advanced techniques. No. They're doing the new fundamentals. So you're again on your feet, you're using your foot. We're not passing on our knees. Now, vice versa, if you're the bottom guy, you have to be able to play the open guard. Again, I'm not talking about De La Hivas and reverse De La Hiva and X guard. No, none of that. I'm talking about you have to be able to pummel with your legs. You have to understand how to outside pummel and underneath pummel. You have to understand the relationship between your hands and your knees. You have to understand how to win back inside spaces with your hands and your knees from those pummels and from the space you're able to create with your arms and legs working together. You have to understand how to invert. That's it. You don't have to do any moves. You don't have to sweep as a beginner, as a white and blue, but like those are the skills I want to see you work on. If you're able to do that, you're going to be able to play whatever guard you want. You're going to be able to do anything that's going to set you up for success in the future. You're not going to be just getting murdered and mauled by guys that stand and pass, because that's what I'll see. Guys that, again, do kind of more of the traditional jiu-jitsu where they're playing half guard or trying to play close guard. They get murdered by standing passers, even guys that are just white belts that understand how to Toriyan to pass and step pass a little bit. I mean, I'll see purple belts get their guard passed three times in a round by a white belt that's been training 8 months because he's done a couple of Toreanda classes. And so you have to understand how to stop standing passers. It's way easier to slow down a guy. So if a guy goes down to his knees, he's either playing lazy and he doesn't really respect you and he thinks he's just going to be able to still get right past your guard, or he's doing traditional jujitsu. He's a more traditional guy. He doesn't understand the modern game. Now, if we think about defensively, so we've just looked at passing and playing your guard. Defensively now, it's all about winning inside spaces. So defensively, we're going to start, we need to start thinking about defense, switching your mindset when your opponent wins half guard. So if they do end up past your open guard and they're in your half guard or quarter guard, we have to start thinking about how to win inside spaces. What are inside spaces and how do I win them? All of your escapes are going to be done at a much higher level if you're winning the inside spaces. If you're not winning the inside spaces, your partner's cross-facing you. Got a cross-face and underhook, and especially if they've got double underhooks, none of your escapes are going to work. Go and watch Gordon Ryan, the best guys in the world. They know all the escapes. None of the escapes work when an opponent is dominating your inside spaces. It is very hard, and that's where now you have to start using explosions and like big bridges and all this stuff to try and win back an inside space or create an off-balance, but if your opponent's base is on point and they're winning those inside spaces, it's just a matter of time before they're submitting you with whatever they want. If somebody wants to arm triangle you, if somebody wants to arm bar you, anything like that, what do they have to do? They have to win an inside space. So as a beginner, you should be thinking about how do I win back inside spaces? And then whatever escapes you already know how to do, you're thinking about implementing those from after you're dominating the inside space. You'll be shocked how less often you get tapped if you just monitor that. And you recognize, oh man, I just lost this inside space. They've won an underhook or they've got a cross face. Now see how long it is until your opponent submits you. I tell guys all the time, you'll be shocked. Your biggest mistake defensively is just always that. It's something that happens maybe a minute before you actually get submitted. But it's just that moment. You don't realize how important that is. Just a simple push with your arm that it overextends it, and now your partner's underhooking you. And now all of a sudden, a minute later, your arm's jacked up. It's your hands above your shoulder line. It's starting to get put in that underjack position, in that chopping block. And 30 seconds later, your arm triangled. It's like, no, it all happened because your partner got past, should be taking a little bit of time to get past your pummeling legs and, your hands and knees, the relationship between your hands and your knees. They've broken that open and now they're in half guard. Well, now they should be trying to get past and win inside spaces. After they've won the inside spaces, that's when you're in real trouble to get submitted. Offensively, we're doing the exact opposite. We're thinking about how we can win inside spaces. How can we take away and win inches from our opponent? How am I going to use biceps ties and elbow wedges? How am I going to use hand pins and things like that to open my partner up? Cross grips and yada, yada, yada. How am I going to grip? So we're thinking about how to dominate the grip battle offensively to set up submissions and how to win inside spaces. How to pin. That's it as a beginner. That's it. When you understand those three things, how to dominate the grips, how to win inside spaces, and how to pin, you're going to have a world of submissions open up to you. All of these movements are going to open up to you. Now, the last thing, the fifth thing, the fifth pillar of being a phenomenal grappler is on the feet. Now, standing in grappling has been improving tremendously over the past couple of years. And I really think the next 5 years, we're going to see most schools put a ton of emphasis. And like your fundamental program, you're going to have to understand how to take the fight to the ground. You're at least going to have to be comfortable there. ADCC was like a huge wake-up call. And we still see, like, right, like Bo Nickel couldn't have come in and won ADCC. You still have to understand jiu-jitsu at an incredibly high level. But those guys are starting to add wrestling. You're seeing them train just like Isaac Michelle. Like, he's training with a Dagestani guy. You know, he posted on the B-Team YouTube page, YouTube, where, you know, he's like, hey, this is my wrestling coach. And you could see how amazing Isaac looked in his match against Wagner Rocha. But the fundamentals for standing, again, it looks a lot different. Like, so many people, it's just like the shrimping up and down the mats, doing forward and backwards rolls up and down the mat. You're wasting so much time doing duck walks. So when people, and I've seen this like in the wrestling, like when wrestling's taught, even at like high schools and stuff, because most of those guys aren't that good of wrestlers. Like, most wrestlers aren't actually that good. I was talking at grappling. I was talking to a black belt that, you know, cross trains at our school, and he's super good. He's like one of the most technical guys I've ever trained with. He came from Alliance HQ in Atlanta. And he was kind of talking about that. It's like wrestlers, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm terrified of wrestlers or whatever. And wrestlers have a lot of like really good grappling instincts, but technically I don't think they're as good as people think they are. Right? Or like kind of like the myth of the wrestler. I've trained with tons of wrestlers, guys that were all Americans in college, guys that wrestled at super high division ones. And I've never been like overly impressed by wrestlers. Yes, they have a tenacity and a ability to, I mean, they're just super, super, super tough. And yes, their base, like the base is super like incredible. But other than that, like there's not really a lot of things that stand out to me when it comes to like ground and grappling skills. And again, I'm talking about, I've trained with tons and tons of like division one or guys that were like all Americans and in college, and guys that won state championships in high school. And I'm not saying that, I'm talking about like once they add Brazilian jiu-jitsu in, they become monsters. But I'm talking about like right off the bat, I think they're lacking a lot of things. So anyways, wrestling fundamentals to me, and what I'm starting to think of it as, is not duck walks. It's not like, hey, we gotta like learn double legs and single legs. Like, that's what most people are focused on. No. To me, it is winning the hand fight, winning the ties, like understanding ties and how to move people, and creating off balances. That's it. Do you understand the relationship between a tie? Like, you have a collar tie, and you reach for the leg. If they pull their leg back, you snap them down. If they don't, well, now we can go into knee taps. We can go into snatch singles. We can go into our attacks. Do you know how to make people move and circle the way that you want them to? These are little things I've been spending a lot of time this year doing, and it's made a world of difference. I'm taking down people more comfortably, just more confidently than ever before, because I've been focusing on those wrestling fundamentals, just stand-up fundamentals. Where in the past, I would just like, okay, I'm going to wrestle today. Time to put my hard hat on. Time to be tough. And I would just use my cardio and just toughness to try and take people down. I would try and double-leg people or single-leg people, and I would just shoot. And I didn't understand. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's what like a lot of wrestlers do. They're just super tough. They've got 2 minutes to work. But I don't think they really understand the fundamentals of stand-up grappling. And again, there's tons of high-level guys out there. I've never grappled or done anything with like the Europeans. And I've always heard from even like really good American wrestlers how much better like technically the Europeans are, and just the way they train and stuff, and their like understanding of like off balances and stuff. But anyways, you want to work on your stand-up fundamentals. Focus on those things. You're not like, hey, I'm trying to focus on my, I'm going to double leg. I'm going to duck walk for 30 minutes, and then I'm going to practice doubles and singles for 30 minutes. You're not going to get any better at wrestling. I really believe that. If you spend time just getting on the feet with somebody and getting comfortable with winning like ties and understanding how to move people from different ties and understand you know, how to like snap people and like when their head's going to be heavier, when their feet are going to be heavy, and how to make people step how you want to. Again, then you add takedowns. You start adding duck unders. You start adding arm drags. You start adding knee taps. You start adding moves. You're going to find that everything works, and you can build an arsenal of stand up. So fundamentals to me set you up for whatever technique you want to do, right? Like good fundamentals, you plug in a technique and it works. If you have bad fundamentals, none of your techniques work. Think of it like that, all right? So stop with the like, oh man, these are 10 moves. I missed, like I saw this YouTube video and this guy said I need to learn these 10 moves to be like a blue belt. Like, no, those 10 moves are, I think like every blue belt should know those moves, but it doesn't mean they're gonna work if you don't have your fundamentals on point. You don't have, you can't win inside spaces defensively. If you can't do that, then your underhook escapes. Coming out the back door, you're just not gonna be there. If you can't split the legs, you can't create angles on your feet, you're gonna have a really tough time knee slice passing. If you can't use your toriandos and you can't make guys like overextend, well, how are you gonna get into like your double unders and over under passing? You wanna start playing daily hivas. Well, if you can't keep your open guard for more than 30 seconds, well, dude, all the daily hivas sweeps in the world that you practice, they're just not gonna work. So focus on those things, you know, and you can create a little checklist. For myself, as I said, I've been working a ton on my stand-up fundamentals. And I've been adding moves as I feel like I'm getting better and better at certain skills on my feet. Been working a lot this year also on forcing like half guard and quarter guard situations. So I've been getting really good at just dominating the feet with my hands, splitting the legs, entering into deep headquarter positions, like positions that I'm really comfortable, I feel like I'm dominating, and then I start to apply pressure and apply weight, and I start to get down on either like combat base or even both knees. I know this episode was a little bit of a rant. I'm not sure how well some of these thoughts came across, because as I said, you know, I really have never, it's just kind of me just having a bunch of ideas and I wanted to get those out there. And that's what I love about this podcast, is I can kind of use it like a self-journal and I can go back and listen to thoughts that I've had instead of writing it down. You know, writing, I do a lot of writing. I've actually got 3 jiu-jitsu journals. I've got one that I keep by my bed. I've got one that I keep in my car. And then I've got one that I keep in my gym. That's how crazy I am. I just want to always make sure that if I ever have an idea, I can put it down to pen and paper. But if I ever like want to really express a lot of ideas, I like to do it in the podcast. Because it's just so much easier for me to talk for, you know, this episode's been almost 30 minutes. And what's cool is I might look back in 2 years and go, oh my God, I did an episode on jiu-jitsu fundamentals and I'm an idiot. None of this is true, right? I don't believe any of it. And that's what's been cool about some of the podcast episodes. I've done podcast episodes. I actually did an episode about like 10 moves every white belt should know. And I realized like, man, I would replace those 10 moves with like this podcast right now. But as I said, in 2 years, I might do an episode and be like, oh my God, like I can't believe I said that. Episode 334, I was talking about these jiu-jitsu fundamentals, and I mean, I don't even believe that anymore. But I'm always trying to evolve, guys, and I think that's the most important thing you should be looking from leadership in your school. Are your teachers, are your coaches getting better? Are they presenting you with new ideas and new information? Or are you learning the same thing over and over and over again? There's one thing to be said for, you know, hey, doing lots of reps on a technique, right? Hey, we're going to really focus on arm bars from the guard. But if you've been out of school for a year and a half and you feel like every 3 months you're spending 3 weeks doing the same guard classes where you're going to the closed guard and you're doing arm bars one class, and then you're going to do the next class, you're going to learn how to switch from arm to arm, and then you're going to learn and you're going to do arm bar and triangles. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because those are good techniques, but if the information isn't evolving and the presentation isn't getting better and the attacks aren't changing and you feel like your instructor's understanding isn't improving, you're training at a gym that's being left behind. And so then when you go and train somewhere else, you're going to get picked apart by either your peers or even guys that are lower ranked than you. And I always tell you guys, and I tell my students, the last thing I want you to do is like you get promoted to purple belt and then you're getting picked apart by white belts. And people will be like, well, that guy's a competition white belt. Or that guy's a competition blue belt. Bullshit. Who cares about that? I hate that expression. I've seen guys that train twice a week that are just as good as guys that compete. You know, John Donahue's talked about that. He's like, look, I've had guys that work full-time jobs that train 2-3 days a week that I've seen give really, really tough purple, brown, and black belt champions like really good rounds. And you can be that. Don't sell yourself short. You can train twice a week and give a competition purple belt hell on the mat. You can give him everything that they want. You can give her everything that she wants. You just got to be smarter about the way you train, and you got to make sure you're getting the best information available. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate all of you. Peace.